This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
That's me, your host, Rick Moore, giving a big shout-out to those folks at Lexington on the 95.3, and a big thank you to our friends at Alt Energy for their support. Alt Energy of Charlottesville, providing professional design and installation of solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems can pay for themselves and reduce your carbon footprint. More is at altenergyincorporated.com. You might remember Paul Risberg from last week as we talked about the personal carbon footprint. We're moving on this week, though, to area transportation. Get excited. I know I am. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, WNRN-STUDIO. Is that right? WNRN-STUDIO for the AOL instant message. Today's guests, Lisa Horaney. Lisa, how goes it?
Hi, I'm good. Glad to be here.
And glad to have you, ma'am. Your role at the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, you have a very long title, whatever it is.
I do. I am the TDM Rideshare Program Manager. They added that TDM to my title just, I guess, as an icebreaker because no one really knows what it stands for.
And I don't. What
no,
is it?
It's Transportation Demand Management. We really like acronyms in transportation. But when most people ask what I do, I tell them that I'm program manager for rideshare and I help people find carpools.
Is that what that is?
Yes, we do other things, but that's kind of the gist of it. We've got those signs out on the highway with our phone number for carpool info, and that's us.
Yeah, you need acronyms if the business, or it's, I guess it's not a business, that the organization is mm-hmm. called Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. You
yes.
need an acronym just to get it on your business card.
Yes, that's a mouthful. So we mostly go by TJPDC for people that are familiar with our organization.
And a little information for those listeners out there, what is the TJPDC? What's the organization's role?
Right. Well, it is the Planning District Commission for Charlottesville and the five surrounding counties. So we cover the city of Charlottesville and counties of Albemarle, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson. And the planning districts were set up back in the 70s to assist the cities and the counties with regional planning and regional issues. And so we have a lot of different programs that we operate in our organization. Our transportation program is one of those. We also do planning for environment, housing, homelessness, all kinds of different issues that I probably can't think of off the top of my head right now.
But you're talking about an organization, the Planning District Commission, Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. Mm-hmm. These are topics that affect more than just me and my neighbor.
Right. It's just we deal with things on a regional level, and we assist cities and counties with local projects as well, and they just come to us if they need expertise in grant writing or community planning and stuff like that. So it's a interesting combination of all sorts of stuff.
Lisa Horaney from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. And today, your special focus is on rideshare. So if I need a job if I need a ride, if I want to carpool, mm-hmm. I would call you.
That's right.
And today's topic is about a survey that was given over the last several months.
Yeah, so this is kind of outside the realm of rideshare, but it kind of goes along with our mission of just educating people about their transportation options, reducing the traffic congestion in our district, and increasing mobility for people.
But it's not really, that means that it's not really outside of your area, right? Because if at ride share, your goal is to get more than one person in a vehicle.
Right.
And that's really what the survey was about, right? As to why you're not sharing a vehicle, or here are options where you can share a vehicle.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. This is more transit focused than
and by transit you mean what?
With ride share. Well, when I say transit and this transportation survey that we're going to talk about is largely related to possible expansion of transit in the area. And you may have seen some stories in the news about talks about forming a regional transit authority. And this project was on a grant funded by the Federal Transit Administration. And they gave us some money to try and increase public involvement and get some opinions from the community about what they'd like to see in the transit system and how they'd like to see it expanded. And if I may, let me just give a little bit of background on why a regional transit authority is being considered. Currently, CTS, Charlottesville Transit Service, is a service of the city of Charlottesville. It's a department within Public Works at the city of Charlottesville, and is funded through various venues. They get federal money, but a lot of it is also the taxpayers in the city. It's a city resource. It does serve portions of Albemarle County. However, Albemarle County is essentially a paying customer to CTS. So if they want a route in the county, they have to work through the city to get that route, and then they have to fund it with county money going to the city. And so by forming a regional transit authority, the transit system would really be its own entity, and the city and county together would have more power just to make it a regional service instead of the setup that we have now.
And so the survey was done with hopes of identifying how to make this happen? Why to make it happen.
Right. Well, with any big expansion project, oftentimes there'll be a feasibility study done. And there was one on a regional transit authority. And so these consultants did this study, and they had all these areas of potential transit expansion, that it would be good to have more transit in certain areas. And most of them are probably areas you would think about, 29 North, out to the airport, the Pantops area, a lot of areas that are outside the city but are still urban and heavily traveled. So what we did with the survey, we took some of those suggestions and put those in the survey, as well as just having open-ended questions on the survey and asking people, you know, what would make them ride transit. So that's kind of a little bit of the background behind it.
Now, the reason that I came and called you about doing this was that the survey appeared in my email box.
Right.
And I thought, wow, I live in the county. I live in a weird spot, but I actually live in a good spot because I can come out of my driveway and turn either way and get to different parts of 29 in about the same amount of time. But I certainly never thought of a bus or light rail coming by my door. So let's talk about this, because I'm answering all these questions from attempting to do it from my personal perspective about what would make me want to do this. And I'd never thought about doing it before. I mean, I used to live downtown in Charlottesville, and okay, I can envision all those times I drove to work or walked past a bus stop, etc. But now here we are talking about it coming to the county. Is that really feasible? Is that possible? Well, let me participate in the survey and see what happens. And so I did so, and I called you up and said, hey, when you have these numbers, let's talk about it on the radio. Mm-hmm. So Elisa Horaney is here from Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. That's going to wear me out. as we talk about this area transportation survey. So let's take some basic information about the survey. You can dial us up in a little bit. So write the number down, 979-0919. And again, it does involve Nelson, Green, Fluvanna, Louisa, Charlottesville. So if you need the toll-free number, that's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS or the WNRN studio email or instant message address. So some basic information. How was the survey given and, you know, the takers, age, dollar, you know, where they fit into the income profile, and how are they getting around now?
Right. Well, you know, the majority of them are driving to wherever they're going. And the way we started is we started before we got the word out about that we were doing this survey so that opinions wouldn't be skewed. We started out with a random telephone survey of 300 participants that were randomly chosen across Charlottesville and Albemarle County. And I do have, I think with the phone survey, I do have the age information, and I'm looking for that because I'm just, there's so much information that we did collect. But with the 300 phone surveys, because those were random, those are really our scientific results that can be projected back to the general population. And we did not include UVA full-time students in the random survey because we really wanted to get a snapshot of the residents here that are, you know, living here full-time and would be, you know, looking at this as an option.
Were the random survey... Is that Charlottesville residents only, or I mean, was one of the first questions, does a bus drive by your house now?
That's, yes, one of the first questions was that and where they lived as far as in Charlottesville or Albemarle. And it was across Albemarle County. So, you know, we have a mix of city and county participants in that survey.
Did I get an email survey because I'm cool, or did it come across somewhere else?
That you actually received the email after those surveys were completed because we didn't want the media talking about it and then someone get randomly called on the phone and you know, have already formed an opinion on the questions we were asking. So we completed that survey back in April, and then we launched an online version of the survey. And so that's the email you received, just asking you to take the survey. And you know, being a member of the media, we were hoping that, you know, maybe this would get mentioned and would drive other people to take the survey as well. So there were several ways we tried getting the word out about the online survey, just email listservs, going to the media. We also passed out surveys at events. We had ads on Facebook. And also NBC 29 helped us out a lot in running some ads for us there.
So you had all those different methods for getting the survey out.
Right.
But the phone survey was the official scientific method. So a lot of the numbers that we'll talk about today, the official numbers will come from those answers.
Right.
But then you have some other information that's, I guess, based on the overall outlook of all the responses. How many responses did you get overall?
Well, overall, and I will also add, and this is very important, that a large part of our results came from CTS and from surveys on the buses.
So current users.
Current users. So we got... almost 4,500 responses in total. 300 of those were the random phone survey. A little over 3,000 were from surveys on CTS buses.
Really?
Yes.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. When we started into this project, we learned that CTS was also doing a marketing study, and part of their marketing study was that they had surveys done on all of the buses on all of the routes during 1 week. And so we partnered with them and got a few questions on there about, you know, where would you like to see service expanded, and what do you think about, you know, the idea of the Regional Transit Authority. So by working with them, we were able to add a lot more to the input that we were gathering. And then, of course, we had our online survey. We had surveys at events. We had paper surveys.
What kind of events are we talking about? I mean, a football game? If I went to a football game, I filled that out? Or
We had some people out at Fridays After Five.
I worry about the feedback from that. Were they there early or were they there?
They were there early because I was like, you know, you got to catch people early before there's, you know, music stuff going on.
And
so
stuff,
I
yeah,
can't
the
say
stuff.
That, yeah. I can't say we got a huge amount there, but, you know, really whenever we had the opportunity, Clean Commute Day, which is just
as someone who doesn't commute in a clean way, what's that?
Well, each year, Rideshare and the transit agency, CTS and Jaunt, UTS, University Transit, we all get together and we have this annual event, and we encourage people to try for just one day during the spring an alternative to just getting in your car and driving alone. And so we have people register and take a pledge, the Clean Commute Pledge, online. And in exchange for that, they can get into a prize drawing. And we also have an event the day of, just with little games and information. And we had tables out on the downtown mall and some at the university. That was on Friday, May the 2nd. So we had surveys out at both of those locations.
Does clean commute count? Does carpooling count as clean commute?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So carpooling, teleworking.
I live sort of downhill at the bottom of the hill with big uphill curvy roads in front of me. So biking is not going to be part of my clean commute option.
Right.
Although for those who did bike down Main Street or anything, that would count.
Yes. Exactly. Any alternative to driving alone to get where you're going.
One of the things I noticed from the, by the way, Lisa Haraney here from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District, as we talk about a recent transportation survey that was given out over the spring, involving the public. I know that was a big part of what, at least the answers that I had to give on the survey was, would you participate, et cetera. Talk a little bit about the goal of involving the public.
Well, public involvement it's kind of a requirement in transportation planning, and it's a big challenge because a lot of these projects, they just take so long to come to fruition, and it's just not that exciting to a lot of people. And just a lot of the methods of getting the word out aren't that effective. As a requirement, when there's to be a public workshop held, or, you know, you may have heard of, you know, some of the transportation projects going on the 29 corridor and stuff like that, we're required to put an ad in the legal section in the classifieds of the newspaper. And there are some people that are really involved and keep up with that stuff, and we get the same, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 people that are the public and involvement champions that show up to these type of things, but not just your, you know, average citizen. So this was really, you know, how else can we get people involved? We did have a public workshop, actually, related to this project, but we didn't really advertise it through the usual channels like the, you know, legal classifieds. We did media announcements. We had, these telephone survey results. A lot of people were interested in the survey results that came out. We did ads on Facebook, word of mouth, flyers, and we got a pretty good turnout this time, and we did see some of the usual faces that are involved in a lot of projects, but we had a lot of people there that had never been to any kind of public workshop before. And so that was, nice to see that, some of these, new methods that, getting people on Facebook, for example, everyone's on Facebook now. Well, let's, put some ads up there, have some pictures of people they might know on the bus. And, so just methods like that to increase public involvement. And, and it's a requirement that we, have public involvement. But, let's make it a little more interesting and a little more convenient for people to get involved. When we did the survey, only 13% of the respondents say that they are involved in the process. But
you mean
yet,
currently involved in planning meetings and
right,
that kind of thing?
They have gone, they've written a letter to an official, they've gone to a public workshop, things like that. 13% say that they are either involved or very much involved. Yet a quarter of those people say that they would like to be involved. So that's another, 12% of people that, we'd like to be involved, but, we've just never really thought about doing it before.
1122 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, WNRN. Lisa Haraney here from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission as we talk about a recent survey that was sent out a variety of ways to a variety of people to talk about the regional transit possibilities. Let me tell you that the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, partly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms today, highs 80 to 85, even warmer in Richmond. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 60 to 65, mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers. Tomorrow, highs 85 to 90. Right now, it's so pretty and so nice outside across the listening area, 82 in the valley, 82 in Lynchburg, 88 in Richmond, 83 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
That's right. I'm still here with Lisa Haraney. But we want to give a shout out to NBC 29 for their support with the experience you've come to know and trust for news, weather, and sports in Charlottesville and the Shenandoah Valley. For 35 years, NBC 29 is also your place for NBC primetime and late-night entertainment and for syndicated programs, including Oprah, Dr. Phil, Jeopardy, and Wheel of Fortune, all in HD. That's NBC 29. All right, shout-outs to those listening. Dial up if you have a question or a comment, 979-0919-1877. WNRN Rocks, WNRN Studio is your instant message way to get up with us. Lisa, I have a question. One of the things I found, because you were nice enough to give me sort of the PowerPoint plates so that I could do my homework for today's program. Mm-hmm. One quote that I picked off of there, you talk about people wanting to be involved. Those numbers versus the numbers that of people who say that they are actually involved. And one of the quotes that I found for someone who might be in that 12% who possibly wants to join in says that they would become involved if seeing action taken instead of talking about it. How do you do that? Because as a easy to make fun of, as a government organization, that's one of the things that people say about everything. All talk, little action. And now you're talking about transportation issues where the state has cut tremendous number of dollars from what's going on. and what needs to be done. How do you tell somebody, please get involved anyway, even though we can't do something tomorrow? Your suggestions today would be helpful, even though we may not do anything about them for a decade or more.
That's a tough one, and I have to say that personally, that's probably why I don't get involved with more things than I do. You know, with working on the rideshare end of things, you know, we're not really dependent on roads and transportation dollars as much as, you know, road projects and transit expansion. So we're more, you know, taking action, living in the now. As you know, I'm not really sure, you know, how to address, you know, you're not going to see this done tomorrow. But I think that if we, you know, kind of put things on a level, not such a technical level, but, you know, people kind of understand the big picture. Like you said, you know, we're not getting as much, you know, transportation isn't getting funded like it used to be. You know, we're not going to be able to just keep building roads to handle more cars. You know, I think keeping people informed throughout the process and really, you know, getting people in the conversation about it, you know, using the social media, getting people talking about it, even though they say, you know, I'd like to see action taken instead of talking about it, you know, they can really be, you know, help us decide which way are we going to go with this.
And I would assume that there are people out there that have suggestions that are require less infrastructure spending.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're talking about today, and we'll get to in just a moment, is, you know, I guess the goal is to get more people out of their car mm-hmm. and doing less driving to clean up the roads best we can. But some of these methods that I've seen or heard about are less expensive than others. So if your suggestion, wherever you are out there, is something that involves less spending, even if it's just a way to make people who can bike and live close enough to their job to bike get on their bike, and you have the suggestion to make that happen, well, that's less expensive than the person who says, let's build the Meadow Creek Parkway, and that'll get cars off 29. So if those people are out there, then do so. Here's a message, a question from the instant message. Has bus usage increased during the current economy?
Yes, it has. And I know last year, gosh, was it back in July when we were looking at the $4 gas prices? It increased in this area as well as all across the country. And, you know, I'll also give kudos to CTS for just work that they've done over the past 5 years. And they've, you know, added routes and, you know, just increased, you know, they've gotten a little better with their timing. You know, they've made some changes and routes over the past few years.
You mean,
you know,
showing up at the bus stop when they say they will?
Yeah, showing up on time. You know, they've got the GPS tracking now, so
really?
You can, yes. So you can go online, or if you're at the transit station, they've got this little thing above your head that tells you when the next bus is coming, so it's not just, you know, a question of you sitting there and looking at your watch all the time. So, you know, even with the system that we have now, you know, there's been some improvements. And a lot of this also has to do with land use, which that came up in the workshop.
Land use?
Well, you know, you said where you live, you don't think about taking the bus. Well, you know, those of us that live in the city and, you know, we've got a sidewalk right outside our door and a bus stop that's, you know, a few blocks away, it's a lot easier for us to use transit than it is for people that live out in the county and, you know, in newer neighborhoods where, you know, it was just kind of transit wasn't really in mind when, you know, the roads were built out there. There's not really any sidewalks or, you know, bus stops or bus shelters. And you just also, you know, you wouldn't think about, you know, getting out on 29 North on your bike and riding to a bus stop. For most people, this isn't a feasible option.
Was the university involved? You said you didn't, that the phone survey did not include university students.
Right.
But in terms of some of the other methods, the email, the flyers for riders currently on Charlottesville buses, was there a question about whether or not you're a university student, and were those accepted, and was the university administration involved in any of the other parts of the survey?
Yes, those were accepted. So it was really only the phone survey that excluded those full-time students, because, you know, if you think about the population in Charlottesville and Albemarle, I mean, the full-time UVA students, they're going to be using transit all the time. They've got their own bus system at the university, and, you know, they're, you know, on grounds. Everything's pretty close by to them, and they can't really use their car.
There's a free bus that takes them downtown and back.
Right.
Is that fair?
Because
a lot of people ask
that.
There's a lot of people who ask, why do the university students get a free bus, takes them downtown, but I have to pay for it?
Well,
I realize it's not your job to make that decision.
Actually, university students, faculty, and staff can now ride any bus, any CTS bus, for free. And
seems to be other fairness questions that you just
It's not really free. Yeah, nothing's really free. The students are paying for it. So,
you mean through tuition and
yeah.
Some of their tuition money gets diverted to that?
Right. So, you know, it's free, I guess, for the individual. And then the free trolley, the bus that goes downtown, is free for anyone to ride.
979-0919. 1-877 WNRN Rocks. We're talking with Lisa Haraney about a recent transportation survey that was given by phone and email, and CTS users got one if they got on the bus, and other events where they were passed out, maybe at Fridays After Five or some of the others that were used here in the area. Here's another question that talks about I don't know, this is anonymous, I guess. Talk about seniors and lower income users. Is there a great percentage of current bus users who are seniors or lower income?
Yes, there are. And we also made us special efforts to include those populations. And I'll say that the CTS, the onboard surveys from CTS, those completing those did have lower incomes than the rest of the general population that completed the phone and the online survey. We also had surveys out at the senior center and at social services offices, and we had a drawing for a $100 gift card as an incentive for people to take the surveys. So, you know, in addition to all of our general surveying, we did try to reach out to those a little more. And, in fact, our consultants that helped us do the surveys on these projects are still trying to get more feedback from senior citizens and also the Hispanic population. We found that they have been challenging to reach in the surveying process.
One of the questions that came up when I was blessed with getting a lot of the information so that I could prepare for today's show with Lisa Haraney from the local Planning District Commission. The survey mentioned the possibility of a public vote. on some of these topics, expanding, and I'm actually jumping ahead here, but expanding the bus service further out into the county, et cetera. How does this help? Because aren't we, if we don't have any money at the moment, and I believe that the state prevents certain types of public votes, how does this help?
Well, you know, first of all, the elected officials in the city and county decided, yes, we want to move forward with this regional transit authority, this, you know, having the bus system be a city service and the county being a paid member really isn't the ideal. You know, it needs to be its own entity. And also, forming the authority would give them a little more leeway on getting funding. They would have more options in funding. So one of these options they thought about was increasing the sales tax by a penny. And so they went to the General Assembly back in January, and they had two bills that they wanted to pass. One was give us the ability to form a regional transit authority. And the second was give us an option of funding this authority by allowing us to go to the voters and ask them to vote on this increase in the sales tax. Well, the General Assembly said, sure, you can fund a regional transit authority, but no, we don't want to talk about taxes right now. We don't want to ask anyone their opinions on that because it's, you know, the economy's bad and, you know, no one really wants to raise taxes right now. So actually someone at the workshop that we had said, well, you know, it was kind of like they handed you back just an empty plate with no food. And so actually the findings from this survey, you know, an astounding majority of people do want to vote on the issue. Now, whether they'll be in favor of, you know, funding the authority through that option or some other option, or they just say, no, we don't want you to raise our taxes, is, you know, that's the people's opinion. But
well, that's what got California in trouble, right? Is everybody voting that we want, yes, we want this, we want these services, we want these things, but I don't actually want to pay for it.
Right. So, I mean, you know, someone has to pay for it, realistically.
11:38 here in the Wake Up Call with Lisa Haraney from the Planning District Commission as we talk about a recent survey that was given. Be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week The Hook shows off those restaurants and chefs stepping up to the plate for Restaurant Week. And those eight restaurants post their menus. Haven't decided yet, lest this week's issue convince you to try. Republicans target local Democratic member of the House Tom Perriello on an energy vote. And one of my all-time favorite columns, the Blind Date Challenge, returns. The Hook, a good read on a good bus ride. And let's thank Quince. Specializing in home accessories, lighting, and Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams upholstery and furniture, Quince is holding its sixth anniversary sale through August. Quince is downtown at 126 Garrett Street next to Moxie Salon and is open Tuesday through Saturday 10 to 5 and by appointment. For more info, it's quincedesigns.com. And also Blue Ridge Graphics gets a shout out. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And none thought you would, but don't go anywhere, because Les Temps Perdue is up next. If French is your thing here at NRN, that means the time's gone by, and that's 80s through 90s alternative. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right, back with Lisa Haraney as we continue to talk about the recent survey that went out. Lisa, some of the particular numbers. 86% of the respondents never ride a bike. and three quarters, never carpool, and never ride a bus. When you saw those numbers, what was your response? And what sort of answers did you get that make you think this is how we can change those?
Well, it's really not unusual that, I mean, really across the nation, unless you live somewhere like New York City, I mean, most people do use driving alone as their, you know, primary option of transportation. Actually, 36% of the people say that they walk as their current mode of transportation. I guess those people probably don't live out where you live.
Yep. I mean, and very skinny.
But, I mean, you know, there are ways that we can change this. And, you know, some of the answers, you know, further along in the survey, you know, kind of, you know, lead us to believe, well, you know, if we do these things, you know, maybe we will get, you know, some more riders on transit. You know, we went in to ask, you know, people, well, why aren't you riding the bus? You know, what are the obstacles? Most people said, well, there's no bus stop near my home, and it's just not a convenient option. So, you know, a lot of these things look like, well, you know, these numbers may change, you know, somewhat if we did expand transit service and make it more convenient. You know, another factor that can make people change their behavior is just the cost. And back when we had the $4 gas prices, all of us that are dealing with alternative transportation, so to speak, alternatives to driving alone, saw an increase. So,
how do you get to work?
On a non-rainy
day, how do you get to work?
I have several ways I get to work. Sometimes I carpool. My husband drops me off. Sometimes I drive alone after dropping my twins off at the babysitter, and sometimes I take the trolley. And a lot of days my husband will drop me off, and then I'll take the trolley home. So I live about a half mile, a little over a half mile from the bus stop where I can get on the trolley.
One of the things that I found most interesting, because it's certainly a stigma, is the bus system. Not necessarily riding the bus, but I think there's a stigma attached to the bus system itself, was that the people who ride the bus gave it a noticeably higher thumbs up than the people who don't. And I found that to be not shocking, but like, wow, really? Because I think the stigma that goes with that is the people riding the bus are like, oh, God, I wish I was, you know, doing something else, this dirty, you know, always late bus. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, you know, maybe this will make people see that the buses aren't dirty and always late. You know, and a lot of people are riding the bus because that is their only way of transportation. In fact, I believe that's what most of the people said, that is their only method of transportation. Some people are riding it because, you know, it's better for the environment. In transportation talk, we have what we call are the choice riders. And so that's what transit systems are always trying to get more of, the choice riders. And those are people that have the ability to drive in their own vehicles but choose not to because, you know, they may not want to pay for parking, or, you know, they may be doing it for environmental reasons, or to get more exercise walking to the bus stops. But yeah, it was, you know, great for CTS that this showed that, you know, just an astounding majority of the transit riders are, you know, enjoying the transit system. So I think, you know, a lot of people that are driving in their vehicles and then they get behind a bus aren't as, you know, don't really think it's as nice as some of the people who are riding.
Here's another instant message question from Always Good. What is the number one current satisfaction?
What are people the most
satisfied and I'll
with?
I'll take that as what do people like most about the bus is what I'm going to take that question as.
I think that
because I was on the survey, right?
Right.
If you ride the bus, what do you like most about it?
Right. Most people said that the on-time arrival of the bus was.
And that's another big stigma.
Right, right.
How long have you been in town at this job?
I've been in Charlottesville for about 3.5 years now.
Are you familiar, or has it happened in the last 3 years, or is this an out-of-date stigma that the bus is always late? You mentioned the GPS tracking system. How long has that been in place, that kind of thing?
That's been in place for about a year now, I think. That and just the online features, and a few of the bus stops have little kiosk on them where you can see, you know, where the next bus is, when it's coming. I think that a lot of people that aren't used to riding the bus are just used to getting in their cars right then, going where they want to go right then. And if you have to sit at a bus stop for any amount of time, it's an inconvenience.
Well, you know, for me, because I did live downtown for quite a long period of time, and it was really very close to a bus stop. But the issue with me wasn't waiting for the bus to get to work. It was waiting for the bus to get home from work. Mm-hmm. It was, oh, I am ready to go. Please get me home now. You know, it's been a long day. I liked my job, but it was just, let's go. I'm ready to go. And I had to wait. I didn't want to wait.
I've had that feeling before myself. You know, CTS has increased its on-time arrival over the past few years. If any of you are familiar with the bus schedules, they've put out, I don't know how many different bus schedules over the past 3 years since I've been here, but they have been constantly working to improve the routes. And the route I travel, I really just use the free trolley route, and it's pretty simple. And in the area where I live, it's great. It gets me to work downtown and back, and you know, I get in about 8 minutes of exercise walking home. But I found moving here to Charlottesville, I moved here from Athens, Georgia, about 3.5 years ago. And just the road network here in Charlottesville is really strange. I'm used to it now, but when I first got here, I'd be driving on 29, and I'd be thinking about Pantops, and well, you can get over there.